Welcome to Teaching Gwinnett, a Gwinnett County Public Schools podcast. I'm your host, Bernard Watson, and on this edition of the show, we're going to dig into what has become a nationwide problem that is disrupting teaching and learning and causing panic in our schools. I'm talking about threats to, quote, shoot up the school that are made and shared on social media. Gwinnett County Public Schools Police Chief Tony Lockhart will join us in just a few minutes, but we begin with Carter and Kayla, two seniors at Second Year High School. They're here to give us the student perspective on this issue. So I'll ask you first, Kayla, and then I'll follow with Carter. What's it like when you see a social media threat to shoot up your school?
It's a very uncomfortable feeling to see, you know, your fellow classmate post a threat online. And it has happened to me in the past where most of the students, you know, stayed home in concern for their safety. So
what about you, Carter?
When I hear of a social media threat, the first thing I feel like is like I'm concerned for my safety and also the safety of my classmates too. I feel like that's the main thing with a threat, because you might not know if it's real or not, but you still feel scared to maybe come to school that day just because you don't know if you're going to be safe at school because of that threat.
Does it seem like it sort of spirals once it starts spreading?
If one person posts it, then I feel like everybody's going to start getting scared and maybe overreacting, or they'll start telling other people what they heard. And I think that's the main thing, how everybody starts spiraling about it. And I think the word gets out quickly, which is also another reason why so many people get scared, because so many people are seeing things and they don't know if it's true or not. So that's the main thing. That's the uncertainty about it. That's what scares them.
From the outside looking in, I know as a district, it seems like we have these a lot. Does it feel like that to you as students, that you're seeing more of these?
Yeah, around different schools. And it's really sad that like once one student posts it, you know, as Carter said, everyone else is going to post it. And it kind of gives other students who aren't really in a good position to make the same threat as the past students in the past have done. So
why do you think these are happening so often now?
I really do think it stems from bullying and bad home life, things like that. There are a lot of different factors that play a role in it. And I feel like to prevent them, we just, you know, make sure that, you know, we're treating everyone with kindness and with grace. You know, if you post something on social media, you need to ask yourself, is this post going to tear someone down or bring someone up?
Yeah, I agree with that too. And I think sometimes people, they just do it for attention seeking, or like not knowing how serious it is. Like they could just be doing it as a joke, just to like be playing around and messing with their friends. But I don't really think that they know how serious the consequences are of it.
It just seems like some kids are doing it just to get out of school or think it's a joke. Is that what you're hearing from your classmates and people you know?
I'm not hearing that they're doing it just to get out of school, but sometimes I do hear that people are just doing it just because they thought it was going to be funny, or they were like dared to do it by their friends. So they were doing it, or it's like a social media trend, so they wanted to participate in it. But I think that's just an immature way to go about things, because you're talking about people's lives, and that's not something to mess around with.
So there are consequences when students do this. They can get suspended from school. Some have been arrested. Is that message getting to students?
I think the students understand, but it also could be reiterated a little bit more. And because I think some students don't know until it happens to them, and then they'll say like they were just joking. But if you could like state the consequences beforehand, like before school starts, or like how it's serious, and like you could go to jail or you get in real big trouble, I think that would limit the amount of these threats that we have.
What do you think, Kayla?
Same as Carter. I honestly don't feel like, you know, they talk about the consequences enough. I feel like, you know, kids, when they post it as a joke, they're like, it's not a big deal. You know, since I'm not going to go through with it, it's not that serious. You know, why am I going to get in trouble for something when I didn't do anything, when I'm not going through with the action that I said I was going to go through with? They don't realize that even if it's a threat that you don't pursue, it's still a serious thing because it's a form of terrorism. You're provoking terrorism in students and your fellow classmates, and it's not something to play around with.
Just a few weeks ago, a student at one of our schools was arrested for making a threat like this, but we still continue to see students make poor decisions. So how can we get that message out? Because there are consequences, and students who are making these threats are facing them. But it sounds like from you two that that message is not getting to your classmates. It's not getting to students.
Yeah, I feel like the school could probably do like advisement lessons probably in the morning or afternoon. Like just take one specific class period at the start of the school year and maybe like a little bit in between semesters just to like tell us, make sure the students are informed so everybody knows the rules and the regulations about how this is serious and the consequences.
So what can you all do as students?
I feel like, if it's a serious threat, if the student actually, feels like they want to go through with the threat, we should, like I said earlier, put a cap on bullying, like, because usually it does stem from that. Or if they're just posting it as a joke, like Carter said, I really think we should, reinforce videos or just have students talk to classmates and about threats and how we should handle them. Students should really surround themselves with students who have good mindsets so they don't have any of that bad influence that pushes them over the edge to make a threat like that.
That sounds great, Caleb, but Carter, is that something that a lot of students feel comfortable doing? Peer pressure is real, as you all know.
I would say the main thing with like students for us would just be like not being afraid to speak up. Like if they hear, like for instance, if I hear one of my friends joking around saying they're gonna post something about them shooting up the school, then I have to take initiative, take action, and tell them, hey, like that's not cool. Like it's serious, and you can't be joking around about stuff like that. And then maybe even telling them that they might need to go see somebody to talk that out, and so they could like control their emotions with it and not handle it in that situation.
Both of you are seniors, but do you feel like from the time you were a freshman to now that the culture at your school or at the schools you've been at has been that people feel more comfortable to report something if they see something that concerns them?
Yeah, I feel like we have really grown in that area because since it's happening so much more often, and most of the time, people can actually go through with the threat. Students do feel like if their life is on the line, they should report it to authorities. Like at my old school, when that has happened, a student did report it to the authorities, and we were prepared. We were alert that day.
Were you guys aware of our new app? It's called GCPS Tips. It's an app you can download to your phone, and it allows you to make anonymous reports of any concerns you might have, whether it's concerns about somebody having a weapon or somebody planning a fight or even a friend who's going through a mental health crisis and needs assistance. Were you aware of that new app?
No, sir.
No.
It's called GCPS Tips, and you can go to the App Store, or you can also go to Google Play, download it to your phone, and it allows you to report those tips. And it actually allows you to do it in different languages. And you're saying that you had no idea about this. You think that's something that your peers would want to know about?
Yes, sir. I think they will.
All right, Kayla and Carter, thank you. We're going to take a quick break now. And when we return, we'll talk to Tony Lockhart, the chief of Gwinnett County Public Schools Police Department. Stay tuned.
Wash your hands! First, you need some soap, then scrub for 20 seconds. If you don't have a clock near you, then sing the ABC song. Be sure to scrub front and back, under your fingernails, and between your fingers. Dry your hands with a clean towel or a paper towel. For more information, go to www.cdc.gov/cleanhands.
Welcome back. Tony Lockhart, GCPS Police Chief, is here. Tony, Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Bernard. Thank you so much for having me here in this opportunity.
So I know you've sort of had your hands busy these first few weeks of school, really the first month or so of school, dealing with school social media threats. Are we seeing more of these this year or just in general over the last couple of years?
Well, really, when we pull our statistics and compare it to last year we had received 56 threats. For this school year, we've received 55. So we're trending. Our trend is basically on the same right now as compared to last year. But then again, if something initiates an uptick, we could see an increase.
10 years ago, were we seeing threats like this? Was a lot of your time spent tracking down threats like this?
No, there's definitely been an uptick in the number of, if we say, social media threats that have come through. And we see the variety of platforms. You know, when I was younger, MySpace was the main platform, the only platform. Now we have all the different platforms available, TikToks, I'm trying to think all the
Instagram.
Other ones. Instagrams and Twitter,
Snapchat
and all those. You can tell how much I do on social media, but there's such a uptick in those, and also the anonymity factor that I can go and create an account and name myself 123 at Tony and just create an accountant. So it makes it more accessible to submit an anonymous threat. And then that's on our end, is we have to track it down. But yes, we have definitely, to your point, definitely seen an uptick in the number of social media threats.
How successful have you been in identifying these threats? Who's making them? Who's responsible?
You know, through due diligence and our partnerships and working with the schools and the administration and the teachers and even students coming forward and providing us with information. Yes, we've been successful in the prosecution, because it may seem to an individual that's making that's posting it, that, oh, it's just a joke or it's something funny. It has a serious impact. A lot of students decide not to go to school on that day because of fear of being harmed, and parents feel that same way. So it impacts the learning environment by students not attending class that day and going to school, but then also internally at the school, it has an impact. So when we're able to track down the person that made this threat, then yes, we do seek criminal prosecution for making a threat towards the school. And then I know quite frequently the school will piggyback with discipline consequences on their end, because the two of us, we work independently, discipline and criminal. So usually they'll also piggyback with discipline consequences.
So the bottom line is, when a student makes the poor decision to make one of these threats, thinking it's a joke or just wanting to get out of school, there are potentially life-altering consequences that come with making those threats and making those poor decisions.
Yes, you're correct. You could, a student could be charged with varying degrees. It could be a misdemeanor or a felony, depending to the extent of what kind of disruption it caused, what kind of threat was made, and so forth. So yeah, there's a spectrum. And we've quite frequently seen also that the judicial system is taking it more seriously. We see the actual the real ones that have occurred, Uvalde and Parkland and so forth. So we have to take them seriously. We cannot look at a threat as, well, it's probably just a joke, let's just dismiss it. We take all threats as being credible, and the judicial system, they are interpreting it also that, hey, we have to take these serious.
Earlier I asked some students what they think we can do to prevent these things from happening. So I'll ask you the same question. What more can we do? Can you just do it alone? Do you need help? How do we make these threats stop?
Yes, we need help. Plain and simple, we need help. And an analogy I frequently use, and it, can across many areas, we're all in the boat, pick up a paddle and start rowing. You know, parents, we need your help. We need your help to have those conversations with your child, with your student, that, hey, this is very serious. Students, we need your help to be willing to come forward and say something. And even when an actual incident comes to fruition, and then I want to say an actual violent incident, like a Uvalde or something like that, or a Columbine, quite frequently someone else knew about it. So we can't be dismissive and say, well, my friend Tony, he made this comment that he's going to bring a gun to school and shoot up some people. He's just joking. He wasn't being serious. When it comes to real life and that person actually commits that act, well, then it's too late. It's too late to say, well, I should have said something. He or she made this statement that seemed kind of weird. I should have said something. It's too late then. We all know no one should be making these statements about making a threat towards the school or a threat towards an individual, but also being a good citizen and a responsible citizen, and watching out just not for not only yourself, but other classmates, staff members, and other individuals of mankind. It's your responsibility to come forward and say, hey, I heard this. And you can remain anonymous. We have a new tip line that we instilled this year. It's called, if you go to the Apple Store or the Google Store, it's called GCPS Tips. And what you can do is you download the app, and we realized, it's reaching a greater segment of the population. So anyone can download the app. You can submit a tip anonymously to our command center, to the school police command center, that is staffed 24/7, 365. So if someone wants to submit a tip, I'll just use, for example, Parkview High School. I open up the app, I select submit a tip, I select the school I want to submit it for, Parkview High School, and then there's a whole list of different categories that can be selected for what type of tip it is. It could be bullying, someone's being bullied, and you could submit the tip anonymously, and you can add videos, you can add pictures. It'll go to our command center, and we can engage in a two-way conversation via the app and the application to see if there's any more information that you wish to provide and so forth. And then, of course, if it's something serious like a threat, hey, I heard my friend Tony he said he's going to bring a gun to school tomorrow. It gets accelerated where then we get immediate notification and response. We begin delving into it immediately.
So I was talking to some students, as I mentioned before, talking to you, and they said a lot of them didn't know about this new app. What can we do to get that message out to them?
Yeah, because technology is great, but it's not great if no one's using it. So what we have to do is leverage ourselves being leaders of the district, the schools also, to get that information out. And I believe getting that information out via, we're doing announcements during homeroom, at school, we're having something put across the message board inside the commons. I know a lot of high schools now, they might have a big video screen in the commons and getting the message played across there. We can even do something at athletic events on the big screens that they have now, commonly at football games, and a quick little blurb up there, a 15-second blurb in between quarters or during halftime or something like that, or at the beginning of the game. It's the messaging and getting that information out, because we do want our faculty, staff, students, parents, and citizens using this tip.
Are we being successful in building this culture of saying something if they see something?
Yes, we have seen an uptick in the number of students that are willing to come forward. We really saw an uptick last year where we had additional students coming forward, and that was tailing off of the tragic Uvalde incident, where students are willing to come forward and go and talk to a staff member or talk to the police officer at the school and say, hey, I saw this or I heard this, and we saw a significant increase in that. And I think it's a culture change, an attitude change, and yes, we're definitely seeing that. And it's significantly helping keep our schools safer.
Are you 65 or older and a resident of Gwinnett County? Do you want to enjoy the best sports and entertainment that Gwinnett County Schools has to offer? Then we've got your ticket, the Gwinnett County Public Schools Senior Pass. You'll have entry into all regular season Gwinnett County Public Schools sporting and fine arts events. It never expires, and it's absolutely free. For more information, call 678-301-7274, and we'll see you at the ballgame.
Welcome back. It's time now for my favorite part of the show. It's called Pop Quiz. Pop Quiz is a series of multiple choice and or true or false questions about Gwinnett County Public Schools. Now, the hope is at the end of Pop Quiz, our listeners will have learned a few interesting facts about Gwinnett County Public Schools and you.
So when you walk into class and you find out you have a pop quiz, how does that make you feel? You feel pretty confident. You get a little nervous when you find out. Or do you guys even have pop quizzes anymore? Let me ask that first.
Oh, we have them every now and then in some classes.
What about you, Kayla? You ever get nervous? You don't have any pop quizzes?
Well, I haven't had any this year.
Okay. Consider this your first one. Okay. Question number one. Students in GCPS come from how many different countries? A, 33, B, 191, or C, 79?
79.
Carter?
I'm going to go with A.
Incorrect.
I will go with 191.
Correct.
Well, if I can segment into that real quick, and if you go to our GCPS Tips app, you will see the whole multitude of languages that they can access the tip app with. There
we
go.
See what he did right there, folks? See what he did right there? He brought it back to the purpose of this podcast, and that's informing our public about that GCPS Tips. Okay, question number two. How much is GCPS's budget for the year 2024? A, more than $3 billion, B, more than $1.5 billion, C, less than $4.5 billion.
A.
Carter?
I do A too.
Well, logically that'd be A, B, and C, because it's more than three, it's more than 1.5, and it's less than four. But realistically, A.
Correct.
Way to go, Tony. You're calling me out on my bad questions there. Great job.
No, it's good.
Question number three. How many state championships did GCPS win last year? A, 25, B, 5, or C, 15?
I do A.
The thing is, quite frequently we get... siloed, we think state championships just athletics, but there's so many things, you know, DECA and drama and dance or band and so forth, or electronic sports.
Stop stalling,
going,
Tony.
I'm going big. What was it, 25?
Taylor? C is correct.
I should know that too.
Ah, no, 15. Gosh.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Here's the final question.
Double Jeopardy. Right?
Is the most difficult one out of all of them. Okay. So if you need to get somebody on the phone, have like a little lifeline to call to get help, you let me know. We can take some time to relax. Are you ready?
We're good.
Okay. He's like, we're good. Just get to the question. All right. Would you rather have to hunt, kill, and gather all your food, or eat McDonald's for every meal for the rest of your life?
I would have to eat McDonald's.
No, I'm hunting.
Because you could order, there's a wide variety on the menu. I've been to McDonald's in a while, but I feel like I'll get a different thing every day because I can't hunt.
McDonald's is so unhealthy. I'd go for some berries.
How are you going to hunt? Like, I feel like if I was going to hunt,
I'll be the one getting it. I'm not doing McDonald's every day. You're gonna get out your knife or your little shotgun or hunting rifle and hunt and kill your food, huh?
You live and you learn. I'm not eating fries for the rest of my life.
I mean, you could get a salad. McDonald's has, or you could one day you could just get a milkshake.
I'm good.
That's a no-brainer. I will hunt, kill, prepare my own food because it's so much more natural. It's so much healthier than eating McDonald's and so forth. And I know then there's also that sense of accomplishment that I'm achieving something or be growing my own food and so forth and more organic. Like we know, it's going to be so much healthier for you and so forth. Yes.
Okay. Great job, everyone. You definitely gave us some interesting answers that also told us a little bit more about you. Kayla, Carter, and Chief Lockhart, thank you so much for stopping by the show. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Teaching Gwinnett. Be sure to spread the word about the show. Let your friends and family know. Until next time, take care and be safe.